Hello and welcome to Stammtisch. No, we're not in the pub. This is DW's new German politics podcast. Now, every week, we're going to give you all the hot political gossip from the capital of Europe's largest country, answering the big questions like, what's Angela Merkel's potato soup recipe? Where does she do her grocery shopping? Oh, and we might just briefly touch on that small matter of Germany's missing government. I'm Damian McGuinness, and with me is my fabulous co-host, Michaela Kufner, DW's very own top political hotshot. Now, if she doesn't know what Angie's up to, then no one does. Great you could join us today, Michaela.
Pleasure to be here, Damian. Now, you did mention that every now and then we do see the German Chancellor doing a bit of grocery shopping at Ulrichs in Mitte here in Berlin, but I very much doubt she would have spent much time doing that over those past weeks, because there seems to be endless demand to continue internal talks, but also talks amongst the Social Democrats on which issue to take into that next round of what can almost be seen as a boxing match leading towards what could potentially become an agreement for a coalition here.
Exactly, but you're right, she hasn't got that much time for shopping. When she does go shopping, it's always a big story, isn't it, in the papers. You see pictures in Bild of what's in a shopping basket, and it's always really German, unglamorous stuff like potatoes and quark and those really trashy Mon Cherie chocolates. Anyway, to kick off, I think we should really explain our rather boozy jingle, Michaela, and the podcast name, Stammtisch. What's that all about?
Well, first of all, there's no beer on the table, so I just want to show everybody of that.
But, sadly.
Yes, I'm from Bavaria, and that's really where the Stammtisch is almost like a political institution. You meet once a week. At least you have a beer and you discuss what's going on, both in work, but also, of course, in politics. And I dare say that the further south you go, the more noisy and brawly that can get. And there's certain parallels to the political landscape here, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, so it's a chance to have a bit of a boozy rant, and not that we here like a drink or anything. Also joining us today are two superstar guests. Kate Connolly is Berlin correspondent for The Guardian. Do you ever see Merkel down the shops, Kate?
I haven't, no. I once nearly bumped into Wolfgang Schäuble at the airport when I was running with the pram in one direction. He was coming towards me in the other.
So it wasn't the moment to doorstep in then, was it, with you?
I'm afraid not, no. I've had another major politician once stepped on my foot and had to apologise profusely, but I'm afraid I've never had any personal meetings with Angela Merkel.
Okay, well, yeah, who knows? Just hang around that
Absolutely.
Particular supermarket around the corner from the Kanzleramt.
Indeed.
It's bound to happen sooner or later. Yeah. Our other guest today is, confusingly, another Kate, DW's very own Kate Brady. Now, Kate, do you have any fun Merkel culinary facts for us?
Well, I have definitely on a couple of occasions at political events seen her enjoying a bratwurst or two.
Oh, she likes good sausage, doesn't she?
That she does. If we had a euro for every picture that we have of her tucking into a bratwurst, then I doubt any of us would actually be here. But I did also hear that she actually, apparently, don't know whether this is true, she spent her first West German Deutschmarks on a Doner kebab. Which,
now that's a good story.
I find that quite fascinating, because after reunification, surely you'd want to spend your first West German Deutschmarks on something a bit more exotic, like, you know, the stereotypical bananas or pineapples. So, yeah.
But was a doner kebab exotic for an East German then, possibly?
I guess, but it's still shaved meat. I'm never going to get over that.
Like, yeah, considering you're vegan, I think it's very brave that you're venturing
exactly.
into that.
Exactly.
That's true. All right, well, I'm going to get quite confused between our two Kates here. We can do Kate C from The Guardian, Kate B from Deutsche Welle, although it does make you sound a bit like Spice Girls. Yeah, it's quite 90s, isn't it? Not that there's anything wrong with the 90s. The other option, Kate, is... What's your terrible gag when you interview politicians and you introduce yourself as Kate? Go on, that one. You told me this. Always falls flat.
What, you mean that I come from Reading, and who else came from Reading?
Go on, who else came from Reading?
Well, Kate Middleton and Kate Winslet. So Reading is a very dull town in the southwest of London.
West yeah, but
of London.
For this podcast, I'm crowning you Princess Kate. So that'll stop me getting my Kates mixed up. Great. Okay, well, let's crack on then. So... before we kick off, we're going to ask every week our guests for an interesting, fun, or frankly just weird story they've come across this week in German politics.
Well,
Michaela.
Certainly hearing Volker Kauder, the leader of the CDU parliamentary group, promising well, almost threatening to wear a red leather jacket if this coalition actually comes together. So I think that TV picture-wise will be a feast, although it is a scary thought considering he is a middle-aged, leaning, oldish kind of half-bald man with glasses. So I'll leave all that to your imagination.
Will it be sort of like a cropped leather situation going on? Or
look, we'll only find out if this government comes together.
All right. Well, that's a reason to get those coalition talks going. Absolutely. Kate, Princess Kate, fun fact of the week.
Well, mine was, it's to do with the new political star, of course, in German politics, Kevin Kühnert. Leader of the young socialists, the Jusos. And, of course, he is the man who has the ability to prevent this GroKo, this grand coalition, from coming to fruition. But it's also been pointed out he also has the power to rehabilitate the name Kevin, which is not a typical German name. The background to this, he's not named after Kevin Costner. Germans often name their kids after film stars. He's not named after Kevin from Kevin Home Alone, which in German is called Kevin Allein zu Hause. No, he's named after Kevin Keegan. His parents have admitted this. And this is the football star who had the bubble perm and played for the German club HSV, that's Hamburg, Hamburg Sportverein.
I think we've gone from a 90s reference Spice Girls to an 80s reference anyone apart from us lot remembering.
He was a great star. There are quite a few Kevins named out there, and I think the most famous one so far is our Kevin Kühnert.
And he could topple Merkel one day. Indeed. That's what the papers here are saying. Yeah. Kate B from Deutsche Welle.
I think the most fascinating story has to be this member of the far-right AfD, the Alternative for Germany. One of their politicians actually resigned earlier this month after he converted to Islam.
Now, this is an anti-Islam party, effectively.
Exactly. This is one of the things that they led their political campaign with going into last September's election. It was anti-immigration and anti-Islam. So this is just fascinating. And he's, decided this is the path forward for him.
Anti-Islam, and then you end up a Muslim.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. Obviously, the big story, though, is where on earth is Germany's government? As we know, it's 4 months since the elections. This morning, leaders of the CDU, CSU and SPD, that's Merkel's centre-right bloc, and the centre-left Social Democrats, started official coalition talks. Michaela, give us a background before we kick off the discussion. What on earth is going on?
Yes, well, if only we knew where it was leading. But last Sunday, we saw the Social Democrats hold a party conference that, for people who are interested in politics, to me was the equivalent of what people must feel who really love watching a good football game. Like, I do too, but only when it's the World Cup or something. But really, you needed some popcorn, and it was like watching sport because it was so exciting. Seeing Martin Schulz not simply fight for his political life, but really trying to get his party behind him, of course, there, and succeeding very narrowly with 56%, even allowing him to take that step and talk further.
So, of course, we'll look into that in great detail in a minute in our discussion, because, of course, Martin Schulz, party leader, needs to get his party on side. But what's got us to this point, Michaela? What have we seen so far?
Complete failure to get together what would have been a fresh start for Germany, the so-called Jamaica coalition of the Green Party, the pro-business Free Democrats, whose party colours are yellow, and the kind of black alliance of CDU-CSU, who have the identical colours of the Jamaican flag, which is why everybody keeps talking about Jamaica and Germany, although we are like thousands of miles away.
And why we saw all those dubious headlines and Merkel with smoking a spliff and wearing dreadlocks on the front of newspapers.
That's what happens.
Dodgy to me, really.
That's what happens when you talk for weeks without a result. Journalists and other people get very creative out of desperation. This failed, and this genuinely would have been a completely fresh start. And now we're seeing, in essence, a real political struggle to maintain the status quo of what the world has become used to. First of all, German Chancellor Angela Merkel in government, and secondly, over two of her three terms with the Social Democrats in government together. And this is proving much more difficult because the Social Democrats have been seen as a loser in any such coalition. They got 20.5% in the past elections, the worst result that they've seen so far under this kind of fresh leader, Martin Schulz, the former president of the European Parliament. And there are big question marks now whether he's going to be able to pull off this next phase, because in the end, whatever gets agreed on, if anything gets agreed on, will be put to grassroots vote, only amongst Social Democrat Party members. So some 400,000 plus members will get to vote on the political future of Germany.
So if all works out, we might have a permanent government by Easter. We'll chat in a minute about how likely that is. If it doesn't, we could have fresh elections, which would mean no government until autumn. But first of all, Kate B from Deutsche Welle, you've been hitting the streets chatting to voters. How are people viewing this political limbo?
I have. I think it was really interesting, actually, to see how different the answers were depending on where you went. Yesterday I was out in Cottbus, which is about 120 kilometres from here, and back and beyond, near to the border. And then this morning I was out in Berlin, and people are obviously a lot more engaged in the capital, in what's going on. But even there, people are like, oh, I don't really have an opinion. I won't be interested again until there's really any movement, you know, of signs that there is actually going to be a coalition.
Are people bored?
I think people are bored. What was interesting, though, is that when I was in Cottbus, a lot of people said that they weren't interested anymore and that Berlin doesn't listen to them anyway. And that kind of links back to the arguments that we were hearing ahead of the election. And I think what resulted in so many people voting for the far-right AfD as well. They feel lost and forgotten. And that's where that protest vote comes from.
OK, well, let's have a listen to what the Berliners said this morning when you were chatting to them.
There is no alternative at the moment, and there's a lot of to do in Germany, and especially in the EU. And so I think it's absolutely necessary that we have to get a government quite quickly now.
I'm against it. I wouldn't like that because it doesn't change anything. It won't change anything. Everything will still be the same, and we need change. The people of Germany showed that they want a change, and that change is needed, and that they don't agree with the policy with the immigrants and everyone with the refugees coming here. They said, well, we are not okay with that, how you handle it. So I'm definitely against it.
I'm not really against it, and I'm not really for it, because I think it's kind of a difficult situation, because first the SPD said no, we don't want to do a GroKo, and it's kind of a weird thing to say that now they want to do it. But on the other hand, we need someone to regieren the country.
Yeah.
But I'm not really for it.
So, of course, the big news today, though, on Friday, is that official coalition talks between the centre-right and the centre-left kicked off. Thank you, producer Nina, for that. I know you told me there would be some sort of fanfare, but I wasn't quite expecting that sound. But things are not looking so certain that we'll get a government since last Sunday's Social Democrat Party conference, when delegates had to vote whether to move on to official coalition talks with Merkel. Now, a no vote would have meant probably fresh elections, almost definitely the end of SPD leader Martin Schulz, and possibly the end of Merkel. So before we have our discussion with our two Kates, Michaela, just tell us, you were gripped by this party conference.
Yes, it was really quite interesting stuff to see Martin Schulz try and get his party behind him. I mean, I personally wasn't expecting it to be that tight, 56%. And it also was a big warning sign that this could really seriously go wrong when we see a final vote by the party grassroots.
But of course, he has to cope with quite a rowdy bunch, the Young Socialists, who Kate mentioned earlier, or Jusos, as they're known in here, short for Junge Sozialisten. They're young, they're radical, they're angry, and they're led by Kevin Kühnert, Kate's favourite there. He's certainly young. How old is he? Like 28 or something? He looks like 12 or something. I don't know. anyway, but he gave the best speech I've ever seen, or I've seen for a long time at a party conference. Let's have a listen to what he said.
Was immer heute passiert,
Es ist nicht das Ende der Geschichte und erst recht nicht das Ende der SPD.
So he said whatever happens today with the vote is not the end of the story and it's certainly not the end of the SPD, but it might be the beginning of a new story that we will write, he said. Let us dare to make this fresh start together. And today that means be a dwarf for now, he said, in order to be, maybe, become a giant again. Please vote no. He ended with a rapturous applause. Was he the star of Sunday, Michaela?
He kind of was, but he also runs the risk of starting, as you say in German, starting to jump as a tiger and landing as a cat, to use the other image. What he did is he actually took on the image that Alexander Dobrindt of the CSU, Angela Merkel's sister party, set in the world, and that enraged a lot of the Social Democrat Party, calling the Social Democrats dwarves, saying that really it was an uprising of dwarves who in that party who want to prevent the GroKo, this grand coalition, from going ahead. Interestingly, Andrea Nahles also used to be the head of the Young Socialist Party, and she was just as passionate back in her days, and she remains as passionate, although she has somewhat shifted her position.
That's right, that was the other star of the conference. Let's have a listen to some of her speech.
Offensichtlich, und das ist das, was wir an Erneuerung brauchen.
So what she said is, we're talking about the party's renewal. Obviously, so far we haven't managed to give enough answers about what the future holds. We haven't allayed people's fears and we haven't managed to generate trust. But what on earth has that got to do with Merkel or that stupid Dobrindt and all the others, she said. This is entirely our problem. We have to solve that and we have to do that right now. Kate from The Guardian. Princess Kate, I could see you grimacing there as we were listening to her.
Yeah, I don't understand why you have to get into this terrain of having a sort of really hoarse voice. You're screaming at people. I mean, it's just, and that's, I did think that she was very passionate, and for the first time I saw her in a new light and saw maybe she is the future party leader.
Well, she is party leader now, isn't she? Effectively, she's one of the party leaders, but she's not the chancellor candidate.
Yeah,
she wasn't the chancellor candidate. But she might in the future
she's
be a chancellor candidate.
She has the potential, absolutely. Yeah. And of course, it's kind of feels quite backward for the SPD that they've never had a woman in power. But at the same time, in contrast to Kuhnert's speech, Kuhnert managed to keep a cool head and be very calm. And even though there was a certain passion that came across, he was level-headed. And I thought there was quite an interesting contrast between the two of them.
And rhetorically, Kevin Kuhnert's speech was quite sophisticated, wasn't it? Deutsche Welle, Kate.
Yeah, definitely. I saw him speak a couple of times last week as he was driving this No GroKo campaign. So that's a campaign to get SPD members to vote against a grand coalition.
How do you say no? Do you say No GroKo like English, or do you say No GroKo?
No
GroKo. Or do you
GroKo.
Say No GroKo? I mean, it's horrible German English thing.
No GroKo.
No GroKo.
It's not pretty. That's
it's not nice. No.
Yeah, but he really keeps it together, and for someone that really doesn't have all that much experience behind him and public speaking, he's really like handling the media well too. And I mean, there was one tweet that I saw him send out this week which was great as well, and it was part of a bigger campaign to do with this. It was called hashtag diese junge Leute, which is like, oh, these young'uns, like how people are patronized as a young person. And obviously, like, he's only 28, but he was asked on by one German broadcaster, does he live in a WG, so in a flat share, so he is still
a student.
Exactly, I mean,
yeah.
He is still a student, but you know, he's also very politically engaged, and he just said, you know, I'll answer these questions as soon as Merkel and co are being asked, do they lick the lid every time they eat a yogurt, which I think was just such a great response.
And of course, in other countries, 28 isn't that young. In Germany, it's really young, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Macron's only a few years older than him, isn't he?
So, that's important in Austria. He said, didn't even finish his studies, frankly. He's a law student, yeah.
That's right. May I just say that because this dwarf thing, I know it wasn't Kuhnert who brought it up, it was Dobrindt. He started it, but from the CSU, from the other conservatives.
Because it meant to be pejorative, wasn't it? It was meant to say people in the SPD.
Yeah, but I mean, this is very politically incorrect, but I think you realised how this, you couldn't get away, I think, with saying something like that in British politics.
No way.
There'd be an absolute outcry.
And then dress up with strange Father Christmas hats as well.
But I suppose it's kind of something that he's getting into the Brothers Grimm territory or something kind of, I don't know, another trying to evoke these fairy tale images.
I mean, Zwerg in German sounds more like Brothers Grimm than
it does. That's
a politically
it.
Incorrect
we have
term
to maybe mention
people.
That. Yeah, that's a point to make. Yeah.
Good point. So does Kevin Kuhnert, though, hold the future of whether Germany is going to have a government in his hands? Does he hold Merkel's fate in his hands?
effectively. I mean, if he is now mobilising, he'll be behind the effort to mobilise the voters for this vote that we can expect to take to happen like 3 weeks after the we'll know the result of it 3 weeks after the coalition talks have reached a conclusion.
Because the Sunday vote in the Social Democrats was from the delegates.
That's right, 600.
Go ahead with official talks starting today.
Yeah.
That was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Now, in a few weeks' time, they're going to have a membership vote on the final deal. As Michelle has said, that's going to be the tough thing to get, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's, what, 440,000 members. We understand they're recruiting new members right here and now. They're trying to go out and get as many people as they can. What I'm interested to know is whether there will be a decision within the party that has to be a cut-off, who can join and still have the chance to vote. You could imagine that anybody who wants to stop this GroKo from going ahead, who wants to topple Merkel, might be out there right now getting people, paying people maybe to become members, that you can get a two-month membership for €10.
Yeah,
seems like quite
tenner,
a good deal.
A tenner to stop GroKo is the call.
Is the slogan, yeah.
Yeah, and tenner gegen GroKo.
And what's kind of important to remember as well is that they're not against Schulz and they don't want to get rid of him. Jusos, so the youth wing, was really behind him. And Kunert said himself, like, we don't want Schulz to have to stand down as a result of this. And they'd be quite happy to see Merkel losing her job, but you know, they're trying to, you know, they want to keep the party together. But I think one of the main points as well to remember, especially with this youth wing campaign, is that they're really looking at the party politics as well. And that's going to be one of the biggest risks for the SPD going into the Grand Coalition again, is being able to regenerate and redefine this profile, which they said they'd do after the election. And then, you know, obviously we're where we are now after this big U-turn.
What's the likelihood then that we're going to have a decent deal that's going to satisfy both sides and the SPD members are going to vote yes on it?
I'm not convinced. I think it's going to be a close call. Regardless of what happens, you know, leading just on Europe alone isn't going to sort out, you know, problem like issues like the family reunions for refugees, about you know, pensions, about the German health system. So there's a lot of domestic issues as well, which we probably don't want to bore everyone with.
But those are the issues that voters
exactly.
Probably will vote on, aren't they? Or SPD members, certainly, Michaela.
I think it will be very narrow, and it will be negative in both ways, really, because a narrow victory weakens the Social Democrats going into a coalition, but losing very narrowly also then would highlight the split within the own party over what would have been the best way to go. This kind of renewal that's also been promised by Andrea Nahles, that it is possible to have a process of internal renewal. And I rather enjoyed actually when a colleague of mine from Phoenix really challenged Kevin Kühnert on, so you don't want the GroKo, but what exactly is it that you want?
Because there are no good options, really, are there?
There
so fresh
are.
Elections,
I mean, frankly,
no one
there just are no good options. And that's why I think it will be extremely close. And I'm not going to put money or beers on that, because I've just been wrong too many times before.
One thing that will not change, though, is the fragmented political landscape, which arguably, I mean, everybody's saying, oh, it's the SPD that's failed to deliver and the CDU. But it also is the fact that the voters have many more places to go with their vote. And that is not going to change. We know in the recent years, we've had the rise of Die Linke, the left-wing party. We've had obviously the entry into the Bundestag of the Alternative for Deutschland. And those parties don't look like they're going to go away. So if they don't get their act together this time, I think it's only going to get worse. Next time round, we'll have a similar situation. But I think that for an ordinary German, European reforms, they're very abstract for them. They're much more interested about the fact that they don't have a doctor in the area that they're living, if they're living in a rural part of Germany. It is much more, as you said, these real issues of everyday life, the inequality that they're feeling. I think these things need to be addressed. Merkel said immediately after the elections in September that she'd address them. There's no sense of any vision coming from her or from the SPD.
So, leads us nicely on to the next question. Where has Merkel been in all this? Well, of course, she was, as usual, floating above the hurly-burly of domestic politics, acting all presidential, as is her wont. And she's been hanging out with the powerful in Davos. She's been pretty absent from the international stage since the election, so her speech in Davos was one of the hot events.
Deutschland will ein Land sein, das auch in Zukunft seinen Beitrag leistet.
So she said Germany wants to be a country that does its bit to help solve the world's problems with others. We believe, she said, that isolation will not bring us forward. We believe we have to cooperate, and protectionism is not the right answer. Michaela, I see you have the whole speech there in front of you. It was a bit of a slap in the face for Trump, wasn't it?
She performed as expected, I would almost say. What we did hear once again is her laundry list of the challenges that need to be faced, showing that Europe wants to act more united. Once again, though, no really grand vision from her there. There was a very interesting ending to her speech when the founder of the World Economic Forum basically said to her, well, you know, you have a tough time ahead, but we'll always be here for you. He literally said that.
And she looked so embarrassed.
No,
she?
And she said to him, look, don't feel too sorry for me. You know, it's going to be just all right. So we had a bit of mansplaining to the German Chancellor there.
Which the most powerful woman in the world.
Which
yeah.
I found rather intriguing, but that's just a side point.
Do you reckon she was also though playing to the home crowd? Because she looks good on a world stage.
Oh, she always has. And I remember when there was great scepticism in 2005 when she'd become leader. Can she do it? Is she a proper leader? That it was the plus points were when she was on the world stage, you know, when she sort of did things like get the bloke's seats sort of aligned, told Bush that he had to sort of sort himself out. And so she took that role on, that played very well at home, and that was when she won the respect at home. That was quite an interesting, so I think, yeah, it definitely does her no harm, but still I think she's got to be aware to not neglect the people back in Germany.
Yeah, I think what's always surprising abroad, outside of Germany, is that there's actually quite a lot of that there is criticism of Merkel in Germany, and people are very surprised because she does present herself very well on the world stage, and this is what people see, you know, on the international headlines, on the international news. But I think back here in Germany, it's interesting that kind of illusion quickly disappears when they see her dealing with domestic issues, and that's what people have become bored of here.
Yeah, she's sometimes in polls more popular in Britain than many British politicians, isn't she?
And my newspaper, Liberal Left, has written many editorials in which we've praised her and more or less said, why can't we have a Merkel?
I think they sometimes forget, don't they, that she's a centre-right politician.
Yeah, but I think it's often unclear that she is that.
Well, she exactly. That's the accusation from within her own party, that she sometimes forget that she's a centre-right politician and that she's shifted the party so much to the centre.
Now, that rather classy beer sound means it's time to place a bet. And whoever loses has to buy a round of German beers in the pub later. So, as talks between the SPD, the centre-left, and the CDU-CSU centre-right kick off, who is going to be this week's favourite left-wing media darling? Is Kevin Kühnert going to stay popular? Or will André Nahles overtake him? Or are we going to see another nation's favourite lefty in the headlines?
Kühnert is going to stay top of the pops, and Andrea Nahles will in about 2 weeks' time once again become the voice of reason within her own party. But Kühnert is the pop star to stay.
Okay, that's your bet. Kühnert's going to stay this week.
Well, I'm hoping Kühnert will stay because I'm hoping to have a sit-down interview with him next week, and we'll ask him, of course, about his origins, the Kevin Keegan origins.
So you're going to single-handedly keep him in the headlines?
Yeah,
I think that's
absolutely
throwing the bet, Kate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's fair.
No, sorry about that. For personal reasons, I quite like Kühnert to remain at the top.
For the sake of your story.
Exactly, for the sake of my story in next week's Guardian.
DW Gate.
I think it's going to be Kühnert as well. But I think, you know, Nahles might come out. She could possibly save the day for Schulz when it comes to giving the statements after the coalition talks. But yeah, I just hope she's had some throat lozenges before she graces us with her presence again.
All right, well, we might have to all buy each other drinks then, because it looks like we've all got the same bets. Yeah, I reckon probably Kühnert's going to stay in the headlines. I'll support your story, Kate.
Mine's a wheat beer. I want half a litre of wheat.
That'll be the Stammtisch next week. Good, okay. Well, to finish up, I want to ask each of you what you are looking forward to or dreading over the coming week. Michaela.
I'm looking forward to getting the first juicy leak out of those talks. What's really going on?
Princess Kate.
I have read that Helen Mirren is going to star in a television pick of Catherine the Great.
Oh, Catherine the Great, okay.
Now, as Merkel insiders know, she has a small portrait of Catherine the Great in her office in the Chancellery, and sees herself in the sort of same visionary light as this leader. And I imagine when she stopped watching the Babylon Berlin, she will probably look to watching Helen Mirren, I think so. So I'm really looking forward to the reactions to that. And it'll run in on German TV next year, okay. By the way.
Are you going to send the Chancellor the box set? That'll be your way to get the sit down with Merkel.
Exactly.
DW, Kate.
Yeah, I know that I'm on correspondence shifts this week, and I am dreading having to find how I can possibly say, no, we don't know anything for 3 minutes in a studio talk, because this is what we're going to be up against during these coalition negotiations.
I'll see how you do it, and I'll do exactly the same thing that you do. I'll copy your role. Good. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back next week with more political ramblings from Berlin. But for now, it's goodbye from all of us. Do subscribe, rate us, leave a comment, all the usual stuff. A nice comment's always good, obviously. And do get in touch with any of us on Twitter if you want to have a rant yourselves. Until then, it's goodbye from all of us here at DW's Stammtisch in Berlin. Swing by for a drink next week. Until then, a big cheers, or Prost, I should say, from all of us.